Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting a television show or season that we think you'll find interesting. In this episode, I am joined by my sister. We're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the seventh season of SWAT. This is the revival from started in, 2017? I mean, the original show lasted two seasons. So for them to have gotten seven, and granted, the seventh was a 13-episode season, and they were lucky to get it, because they were pretty much, they were canceled at season six, but there was apparently some communication around, well, we didn't think you'd be able to do it for the amount we were willing to pay, and the showrunner was like, actually, I think I can.
Yeah. And so he was only given half a season. It wasn't that it was 13 episodes because of the strikes.
Right. It was supposed to be 13 seasons to finish
13
off.
Episodes.
13 episodes. To finish off the series. And they made some interesting decisions. Luca gets injured and written out about two-thirds of the way through the season and wasn't even in all the episodes prior to that. Street was off doing stuff in Long Beach. Shows up for an episode or two and then basically stays with the Long Beach squad.
Yeah.
And then Deacon gets, I don't want to say written out, but he retires. And they had basically, 20 squad was shrinking.
Well, and Deacon retired less because he felt too old for the job or because he wanted to, and more because of the whole work-life balance issues.
Well, the family obligation. His wife's career was starting to take off. He'd realized she'd been the stay-at-home mom for most of his career. Now it was time to repay that.
Yeah.
And basically, they did a really good job over the course of the season, almost dismantling 20 Squad. And when you look at how the series started, Hondo is taking over as leader. Street is just now joining the team. A few of the others have been there a little bit. A few of them have been there, it seemed like, forever and a day or whatnot. But to have a lot of those old-timers like Luca and stuff have to leave.
Yeah.
Under different ways.
Yes.
Luca was injured. Deke chose retirement. Street basically was working with a squad. They lost their leader. They needed him. And they did it in a way for each of them that it really kind of completed an arc for the character over the course of the series.
I was thinking that particularly for Street.
Yes. They did a really good job with Street going from he's the hothead rookie to having to earn his place back on the squad to showing some leadership and guiding some of the characters to being a leadership figure for this other squad.
Well, one of the things the show has done really well is some of the characters who have been mentored in previous seasons were stepping up to do the mentoring here. And poor Alfaro was catching the mentoring from every side at one point. You know, but Alfaro didn't know how to be a member of a team, really.
Well, he was kind of Street 2.0.
Yeah.
And they did it in a good way because he knew Street from back in the day. They built some of that up. And they showed that unlike Street, who was headstrong and would go his own way, this guy was very much a team player. It's just he wanted to be on the 20 squad team, not the one he was on.
Yeah.
And that rubbed some people the wrong way or whatnot.
Well, one of the scenes I liked was when Tan comes out and sees Alfaro laughing and joking about the video that was shot of Hondo when he was doing some policing. And Tan's like, no, you have his back. Even when it's just watching a video, even when he's not here in the room, you don't laugh at the video of Hondo.
Well, it was interesting because you could see that conversation through both perspectives, kind of the newer guy. And then Tam was saying, it's like when, you know, Hondo took over, all of this happened because of a similar incident back at the pilot episode. He didn't phrase it that way, of course. But with Buck, that's what left, you know, made Buck leave and stuff like that. So seeing kind of history repeat itself, not only is Tan loyal, he's seen the repercussions of this sort of situation going wrong.
Yes.
And I love that callback. Because it's in a way that if you remember the pilot, great. If you don't, if you just started watching the show, the dialogue gives you everything you need to understand where Tan's coming from.
Yeah. Well, but we also, in a later episode, we have a scene between Hondo and his father. And he's like, and when people were talking trash about me at the barbershop, did you stand up for me? Or did you just keep your mouth closed or go along with it? And he really kind of put his dad in the Alfaro position.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they did a good job of cutting that conversation short with you're getting called in, your phone's ringing off the hook kind of a deal.
Yeah.
So dad never really had a chance to respond.
True.
But we all kind of knew what was likely to happen. He usually doesn't have Hondo's back, that kind of a deal. But we went with kind of Hondo's assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a very artful way to handle that conversation. I felt the way they handled it at the end of the episode, I don't say it felt like a retcon or whatever. It was in keeping with his dad's character, but it was also a little out of character for his dad in some ways.
Basically, what they tried to establish was dad's always been proud of you. He just doesn't speak up for you or have your back in public.
Well, Hondo's father is proud of him, but he's also a proud man.
Yes.
Who is set in his ways, and black man, L.A., police department, not always the best of relations, which is its own set of problems. But
and we do a similar thing with the childhood friend.
Yes, Leroy.
You know, where it was a, look, it's one thing to say you're my friend and to say, hey, I think as a cop you should do more. But when you're hearing things and you aren't saying, hey, the cops would listen, or hey, I can take that to the cops.
Or I can take it to one I trust.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I think, again, some of those characters, Hondo's father, his friend, we've seen arcs for them over mm-hmm. the seasons.
Well, I think Leroy got a good arc in terms of he really started as one step removed from a gangbanger because he was already in jail and that was his past.
Mm-hmm. He was Hondo if he'd gone the wrong way.
Yeah. And then in this season, we got to the point of they were having the car parts that were being stolen out of cars parked on the streets. And Leroy was saying that people could come to his shop and he would etch in them the VIN numbers
mm-hmm.
so that they would be harder to resell, basically, so they weren't worth stealing.
Yeah, and they could be tracked and you could find who stole them, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They've done good things with these characters, and I think they've done a good job kind of building a community
mm-hmm.
over the course of the 7 seasons. I mean, we've had various people come and go.
Yeah.
But we've also had recurring, the detective they often work with,
mm-hmm.
the FBI agent they often work with,
yeah,
things of that sort. So we get some familiar faces, but it's not like they're there all the time either.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, over the course of the season, as they're writing various characters out, and I mean, most of the season, 20 Squad seems to be at about half staff.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have the manpower.
Yeah.
And that's a recurring theme of, well, you can grab some people, but as Luca leaves, as Deacon retires, as Street's, you know, more permanently elsewhere, you got to fill the slots.
Yeah.
And it's never ignored, but there's always the problem of the day to handle, too. And that all kind of comes to the head at the finale when 60 Squad didn't get wiped out, but gets taken off the board for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I found it very interesting that they went into this season clearly in the writer's room of, okay, how do we end this gracefully, get to a natural conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
And I think going into the finale, they were doing great on that.
Yeah, they really were.
I'm curious when they found out you're getting an 8th season, because I didn't feel the finale of the season was a finale of the show, even though that was clearly the direction they were heading.
I think they didn't know until after they had shot it.
I think so, too, and I think they were trying to end on a 20 Squad has changed. It isn't the one we've been following, but they're coming together. They're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But ending on the you can pick the 6th member, carte blanche, very much felt like a, now that we've got the 8th season, who do they pick? Who do we get? You know what I mean? It was a good launch pad into that. And I'm really kind of hoping that they pull in somebody who brings a good dynamic to the team.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun to watch, but also potentially brings a bit more of an audience in.
Yeah.
Because I would love for it to be at this point, kind of the pivot point where the old 20 squad is closed out. We've reformed the team. Granted, it's got some of the same members and stuff, but some new ones. And almost a new launch pad for the series moving forward.
Well, they basically need to bring in a new equivalent to Street.
I think they need to bring in a new equivalent to Luca.
A new old-timer?
Not so much an old-timer, but somebody who's got a bit more legacy, a bit more SWAT is my life.
I was thinking Street in terms of new to SWAT, new to the team.
Well, and you could do the both in the same character. If it's he's new and somebody who is almost trying too hard, seems to have the wit of the world because they're a legacy.
Yeah.
Their dad, their grandfather, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what I really want out of that new team member, but...
What if they were a legacy, but from a different city? Like a different coast?
Like a New York PD?
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
Because then you've got the conflict of, but my dad said they always did it this way.
Or my dad always drilled me this way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's how they did it.
Yeah.
I think if you played it with somebody who's a rookie and new to SWAT, but because he'd been brought up, again, I like the idea of NYPD, but, you know, East Coast and stuff, and their legacy there, and he came out to LA because he didn't want to have all the benefits or whatever, or expectations of every dad, uncle, cousin, etc. is part of the PD over there kind of a deal. So it's like, I want a clean slate, I want to get it on my own. But had been drilled since birth, practically, and this is the way the police operate.
Yeah.
And now has to realize, well, LAPD does it this way.
Yeah.
But can bring, have you thought about this? Have you tried this? I'll do it however you want.
Yeah.
And it could be a very interesting mix of experience the guy is too young to have.
Mm-hmm.
A willingness to learn and is trying to fit in, but almost inevitably shaking things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could be a lot of fun. And having somebody who's got that outside perspective and then finding out what personality-wise would make that somebody that fills whatever void they feel the team has.
Yeah.
Because they've had a few other people over the years that came in tangentially. The one that was the EMT or whatever.
I was thinking about her as we were watching the final episode.
I was thinking about her and then the one who was on 60 Squad that was kind of the part-time
member of
the team. Carrera. Yeah, it's like there were a few episodes where it's like because they're shorthanded, she should have been there. Or at least, oh, she's with 20 or with 60 Squad now.
Yeah.
So there were a few things there that I think they could have done a little better. But when I say that, they did a really strong season, and I don't think it had any shortcomings. But I don't think anything is perfect either.
Well, they had a few threads that they kind of built up and then dropped. Powell's son, Thomas, early in the season, that really got built up. And then once Alfaro gave her the concert tickets, Thomas kind of fell by the wayside.
And all we needed was a couple of lines of he enjoyed the concert or what have you.
Yeah. And then the other thing between Hicks and Powell is even if there had just been one day where as she's leaving the station, she's telling Alfaro or someone, I'm thinking of going on a date, but don't you dare tell Hicks.
I'd have done it the other way.
Or the have her stop by Hicks and say, I've got somebody I want to bring by for you to meet.
I was actually going to say somebody for you to vet.
Yeah.
And then have him, you know, she's like, here's the photo or whatever, here's the information. And he's kind of taken aback because it's a younger female and she's checking out on her kid. I mean, there are a couple of ways you could spin that sort of a thing. But putting Hicks in a bit more of the father role that he almost inadvertently assumed at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And again, they started the season off strong with a, let's go elsewhere and have a little adventure for a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of like how they have been starting the season with almost a two-parter elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, Mexico, was it Mexico this time or was it?
Yeah, Mexico.
Because they'd done that a time or two before. And I thought that was a lot of fun. It definitely gives them an opportunity to do a type of a story that they can't always do in the middle of LA.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm glad they were able to get the negotiations squared away to get this seventh season. I think they did a good job of kind of reducing costs. Again, we lost a couple of recurring. They flipped to regular, not even regulars, in some cases recurring, in some cases just guest stars. But it wasn't like their absence was just, oh my God, what the hell happened? And I'm curious what kind of budget or whatever they're going to have for the next season, what kind of episode count they're going to have.
Yeah.
And how they choose to spend that. Because again, if they can get this to where it's not just a, yeah, you got an eighth season, but has a likelihood of getting a ninth or a tenth or whatever. Police procedurals are always popular for the most part. I don't think there's ever been a time they've been off the air.
No,
there's
none that I can think of.
Yeah. The style may shift or whatever a little here and there. Sometimes we may have a lot of them, sometimes a bit less. But I definitely think that this writing team has shown they can swap out characters, change up the storylines, adjust as needed to what's happening in society and kind of the plot lines they want to tell, and do a good job. So if they can kind of reinvigorate the series, I just would find that, you know, great and hilarious. It's like, oh, we almost, you know, well, we not almost, we got canceled a time or two, but here we keep going.
Yeah.
And I like that. The one thing I would love to see them do, and it'd be tough because I want to cross over with another show that's off the air, was only on CBS ever so briefly, and was done in another country, and that's Flashpoint.
Oh, yes. That would be wonderful.
Even if it's just you get Enrico Colantonio and one or two of the others, they're in LA, they're there for some kind of either police convention or something or some other thing. You know, Enrique's character could be retired even or whatever.
Yeah.
And there are ways you could bring them in and do some very interesting dynamics.
Yeah.
Because I just think Enrique's character giving Hondo some advice or whatever is just, hey, you don't need it. You got your stuff taken care of. But here's how I dealt with this sort of a thing, or wish I had dealt with it this way or something. Because there's so much about the strategic response unit from Flashpoint and the SWAT team here that they're very different shows in some respects, and they're very similar shows in some respects.
Yeah.
And I would love to see that kind of blended for an episode or so. Because I think that would be fun. Other than that, I don't think they really need to cross over with stuff or do any kind of stunt things. It would be fun if, you know, next season we find out, okay, what's Luca been up to or some stuff like that.
Even have the food truck come back.
Yeah, I would expect to see the food truck, or at least hear about it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I think the writing team has done a good job of. Certain things stay alive, even if we don't see the characters.
Yeah.
And we had heard about Bonnie quite a bit before Tan introduced her to the team and married and divorced and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they're good on those kinds of subplots and keeping characters active, if not visible.
Mm-hmm.
And going through the pandemic, the budget reduction and stuff like that, that's a very useful skill to have.
Yes.
And it's funny because the scene we got in the finale at the beginning when every squad but 60 Squad was pulled into the room, that's not a shot they could have done just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, the pandemic would not have allowed for that. And it was funny because there are a few familiar faces there.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is kind of the bald guy we've seen on the team a few times.
Yes, when they Stevens.
Needed, yeah, Stevens, when we needed that sixth member or whatever. And I was thinking, oh, we're going to see him or something's going to happen with him. Nope, he was just there for the meeting.
Yep.
But hey, if you can do that, I mean, he didn't have any lines of dialogue, probably didn't cost him anything, but it wouldn't surprise me if that actor is either retired PD or something like that, and just doing this as a fun gig and has the training to act like a cop naturally or something. I don't know what his background is, but it wouldn't surprise me. So I think they did a good job this season. And again, all it would have taken is for one guy not to ask one question as to why didn't we get the season or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's kind of mind blowing to realize that it got canceled based on assumptions.
Well, and once those assumptions were made, it could have stayed canceled because of that. So for them to get out of that and then deliver such a fun season.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a fun season to wrap up the show, but good enough they're getting the eighth season.
Well, and they did some good stuff with Nichelle.
Mm-hmm.
And Second Chances.
Second Chances. I enjoyed the scene we got an episode or two from the end where Deacon and Annie are over for dinner.
Yes.
It's just getting to see these people out of the work situation was nice.
Yeah.
And of course, it was good because Hondo gets called away. Deacon wants to go, but he's retired, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It played into the arcs of the story.
Yeah.
But they've often had that kind of girlfriendish character for Hondo throughout the series. And we've had a few people in that, if not that literal slot, but that sort of slot.
Mm-hmm.
Or that other person at the SWAT headquarters other than Hicks or whatever. They've come and gone.
Yeah.
Some have worked out better than others. Some, once they're gone, we never hear from them ever again. And Nichelle's character is one that I don't think they would ever write out. They may minimize, depending on budget or availability or whatever. But I think balancing the home life and stuff like that, without it becoming half home life, minimal SWAT or whatever. That's just not the nature of the show.
Yeah.
But they're doing a good job with that. And it brings in other story potentials.
Yeah.
You know, things coming from the community center. And again, it goes back to Hondo's trying to not just be a good police, but a good member of his community.
Yes.
They started strong on that from the pilot, and they've kept going with that throughout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the couple of times they've done, and it'll be interesting to see how they do this with Luca gone, but like the gang members and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Luca was so little in this season, we never got his house.
Last I looked, Tant was living there.
Yeah.
I was expecting once Luca got written out that we would at least hear from Tan a time or two of he's doing all right, he's spending time with the food truck, or what's going on with Luca.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't a void that needed filling or was, oh my God, it's a gaping hole not having it. But that was the sort of thing I was kind of expecting them to do a little bit. Because
mm-hmm.
I think if they'd done a little better with that and a little better on what's happening with Chris that left at the end of sixth season, or beginning of, I guess.
Yeah, we got a line of dialogue referring, well, two. She and Street go hiking with Tan and Powell, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. And then Street was going to pop the question.
Yeah.
And told Tan not to beat him, you know, not to spoil that for him, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of thing with another season. It gives them an excuse to bring in Street, Chris, Luca, you know, whoever else they want to for a sweeps episode or something of the sort if they want to.
Yeah.
I think whenever they do finally end the series, and I'm in no rush for that to happen, I want them to end on kind of the backyard barbecue or whatever
mm-hmm.
at Deacon's place or the equivalent.
Yeah.
That they did a time or two early on that really showed, again, they hang out outside of work.
Have we had any episodes really where somebody's come after Commander Hicks' job?
There was the female liaison for SWAT a season or two.
That made it difficult for him, but wasn't really trying to get his job.
I don't think she was trying to get it. I think she was blocking other people from getting him out or something. But they did a little more of the office politics at that point. But it does seem like Hicks has been in his position probably for like 20 years now.
Yeah. I'm just thinking that's one thing they could do to kind of, I want to say, spice things up at headquarters. Is if somebody assumes he's getting close to retirement and tries to put someone else in there to be training up to take his job when he finally retires, and suddenly 20 Squad feels like they're getting conflicting orders.
I think if they got conflicting orders, it's, well, we report to Hicks.
Yeah, I think that's how they would react to it.
Yeah.
But I think it would be an interesting dynamic to have going on in the building with Hicks trying to command and trying to deal with someone, not necessarily undermining him. But
well, it's funny. At one point, they were kind of getting Luca into the position of potential successor.
Yes.
And Deacon's another obvious choice, as is Hondo.
Well, and that is the other way to go, is Hicks tapping someone
mm-hmm.
to train up.
Well, and that would be a way if either Shamar Moore or Jay Harrington, the actors who play Hondo and Deacon, if one of them got to the point for whatever reason they couldn't do all the action and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
you could move one of them into the Hicks position.
Yeah.
It's kind of like in Stargate SG-1 when they kind of retired one of the generals and moved O'Neill into there.
Yeah.
And had Richard Dean Anderson basically able to kind of cut back his hours because he's not going out in the field every day. So, and I'd love for the show to last long enough where that becomes a very real concern.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they've rotated characters through the team and stuff now. I don't think there's any reason they couldn't gear towards, okay, we're going to have characters that, other than the anchor leads, the Shamar Moore, that type, but have a lot of the other members of the squad be the ones of, yep, they're there, they escalate, they have their arc, we move them either to another squad or something like that, we bring in somebody new, cycle through, and that keeps the storylines fresh, it allows you to switch up the sorts of stories you tell.
Yeah.
It keeps the costs down.
Yeah.
And it keeps it feeling like it's a new show, as long as you've got enough stability and you're not just replacing, okay, every 4 years, boom, we've got a new squad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you do it every year, and the trick is not to do it where every year we get a new member and one goes away.
Well, the other thing, though, is doing some rotating over on 50 Squad, who we have the rivalry with.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, they've done a little of that because we've gotten to know a few of those people.
Mm-hmm.
Rocker being the main one.
But before Rocker, there was...
Oh, the one who retired that we saw for an episode this time.
Yes.
Mumford.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, seeing Mumford and Buck back for an episode and stuff was kind of good.
Yeah. Oh, that was hilarious when Mumford's going through the archives for writing a book and finds some piece of paper from years ago and is all upset about it.
Yeah, I can understand that. But again, Hicks signed that paper implying he was in that position like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm curious how long of a season they're going to get for an eighth.
Mm-hmm.
And who they bring in. And really, the only three regular cast members we have from the first season are Hicks, Hondo, and Deacon.
Tan.
Tan technically wasn't a opening credits character at the beginning.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
He got added, I think, halfway through the first season, maybe second.
Huh. Interesting.
And that's the sort of thing where, again, they've
yeah.
grown some of their actors and stuff like that.
Interesting. So
if you get to where you can have a couple of people off the other squads that you can rotate in or out or what have you.
Yeah.
There's a lot you could do. Because they've already done the storyline of, okay, somebody got killed in action, so
yep.
the team took a hit at that point.
Well, and we brought in a good girlfriend for Tan.
Yes.
The reporter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, Tan's got his exterior life out of SWAT. They make sure these characters are not one-dimensional,
mm-hmm.
that we have some sense of what they're doing when they're not on the team.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm curious what opportunities they're going to find out of all of this. And how quickly they fill that open slot.
Mm-hmm.
And is there going to be a gap in time between the season and next? Are they going to be filling it at the beginning of the season? Or is it going to have been filled in that way for a little while now?
Mm. That's hard to guess because Hicks was on him about give him a roster.
I'm expecting they're going to have the new member and the new member's already going to have been on the team for at least a month or two by the time the next season starts.
Interesting.
I mean, there's the possibility they got somebody, it didn't work out, and they're replacing again, but that seems unlikely. They can't have a significant amount of time elapse, and Hicks saying, I gave you carte blanche, you got to pick somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the impression was, you've got carte blanche, pick somebody, you don't have to do it now, but if more than a week or two passes,
yeah,
it's like, how choosy are you? But that's where I like the idea of pulling somebody outside of LAPD.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of potential there. And finding somebody that brings a different perspective, is new to LA, new to Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I love the idea if they were to do it from like New York, that's one of the few places you could grab somebody where LA seems like a small town.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's big. It's spread out. But it's, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
It's such a different vibe than New York.
Yeah.
That I think that's too good of an opportunity. Because then you can have, oh, we're going to take you out for this type of food or that type of food. And, oh, but we've got the best of it in New York. It's like, well, try LA.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes New York will be better, sometimes LA. But it's got such a idle chit-chat fountain of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
For them to have things to be talking about, little bits of business to be doing during the episodes.
Yeah.
To really bring a new energy to it. And again, there's nothing wrong with the energy they've got, but we've rotated the cast members out enough that I'm sure they're thinking about how do we position this to where it's a fun show to watch. It's got the narrative possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, when the show started, it's like, ah, it's another police procedural. Do I really need another police procedural? I've seen a few. They're fine. They're episodic. There's nothing there. You said you'd watched it. I should check it out. I did. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And they retooled a few things from the pilot episode or whatever, but it's been a great ride. And to basically, again, can they pull it from the jaws of death and,
yeah.
and keep it going?
Yeah.
Most shows I would not have that kind of faith in because so few have shown the writing chops that this group has had. And even when they've had some issues with some of their actors of they can't handle they're not in a position to be able to do the stunts or whatever.
Yeah.
Like with Kenny Johnson with Luca, they kept his character in play.
Yeah.
He literally phoned it in a time or two, but he brought such a great aspect to the character and to the team, it was worth doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the way they've kind of created these new characters, it brought a little friction, it brought some energy, and then when we had some of them at odds and then patching that over, it's not, oh geez, well that was easy.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I get it, they're earning it, they understand how to break the stories and make them fit together.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see them be successful.
Me too.
Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.